Our readings today have two readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, as you see from your hymn sheets. First reading is Ezekiel 34, reading verses 20 to 31. It can be found in the Bibles on page 873. Ezekiel 34, 20 to 31. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with the side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness, sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will send them down showers in their season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. When I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them, they shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer the reproach of nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the God, Lord God. Second reading is from John chapter 10, verses 7 to 13. Can be found in the Bibles on page 1080. John 10, 7 to 13. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep.
Peter, thank you very much for reading for us. May I welcome you very warmly again amongst us this Tuesday. Let's pray, shall we? And then we will study God's word together. Praise you for these wonderful words that we can say if we belong to the Lord Jesus, that the Lord is my shepherd. And in the midst of numerous pressures and pulls on energy, priority, time, we praise you, our Father God, for the glorious promises that those who belong to the Good Shepherd inherit life and life to the full. Pray that you would open our eyes to this truth. Guard us today, we pray, from false shepherds and thieves and robbers, and cause us, we ask, to delight in the true Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Well, now, all around us in the global marketplace of ideas and philosophies, we are bombarded, are we not, with offers of life and offers of life to the full. Of course, we see it offered on a plate concretely through the holiday tour operators, the pension plan providers, the market makers of the various goods and items that fill our homes. A fortnight in Mauritius, life to the full. a secure and healthy retirement, life to the full. A victorious campaign in Portugal, yes, life to the full. A plasma screen, a digital camera, an iPod, a BlackBerry, and a mobile phone that beams pictures across the world to your loved ones, life to the full. Now this afternoon, what I want us to see is that Jesus and Jesus alone is the one true shepherd who alone can offer us real life to the full. And that all other offers, all other purveyors of life to the full, in Jesus' words, not mine, are hoaxsters, fraudsters, and in fact rob us of true life. Listen to the claims of the Second Humanist Manifesto, which some of you will have heard me quote from on a Sunday, 1973. By using technology wisely, we can control our environment, conquer poverty, modify human behavior, alter the course of human evolution and cultural development, and provide humankind with an unparalleled opportunity for achieving an abundant and a meaningful life. Technology, the savior of mankind. What I want us to do at this lunchtime is to take a look at technology, the savior of mankind, over against Jesus Christ, the savior of mankind, and to say which is the true shepherd. Listen to the claims of Kabbalah, the new highly popular self-help spirituality. I went onto their website this morning. Our goal is to help mankind break through the barriers he's placed on himself, freeing the spirit within to express itself to its full potential. You will be able to achieve a new dominion over life. You'll reach a state of knowing and clear obstacles, limitations, and emotional reactions so that truth will always guide you on your evolutionary journey to maximize your potential. Now again, I want us to look at the claims of the modern self-help religion over against the claims of Jesus Christ, who calls himself the true good shepherd. Well, verse 7, we'll start in on page 1080. Keep a finger in Ezekiel. We're going to be going back there on page 873, and we will be moving fairly swiftly. Truly, truly, says Jesus, page 1080, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, the language of verse 7 and the language of verse 9, I am the door, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved, demands that we see the life that Jesus is offering as life connected to God our Creator. Life guaranteed in heaven. And life now lived out to the full in certain assurance of all the blessings of heaven. Let me explain. I am the door speaks of access, doesn't it? But he's talking about the door to God's sheep pen. And if you don't like seeing yourself as a sheep, I'm sorry, that's tough. That is the way, one of the pictures God uses for us of sheep, his true people, the human sheep of his pasture. And therefore the door is access to his flock, so that we know we belong. Look again at verse 9, I am the door, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Being saved in John's Gospel, and indeed in Ezekiel we just read from, means being saved from judgment, being saved from being ravaged by any wolf or other false teacher that happens to be, perusing the scene. Being saved speaks in John of rescue and salvation from judgment and death. And the language of going in and going out and finding pasture, again, is the language we just read of in Ezekiel, where all the promises of heaven are promised to the people of the true shepherd. So as we read, we didn't read verse 11, I will search for my sheep. Verse 13, I will bring out my sheep. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 34, I will feed my sheep. Verse 15, I myself will shepherd my sheep. I'll cause them to lie down in good pasture. Verse 22, I will rescue my flock. Verse 23, I will set over them a good shepherd, King David, my true shepherd. Verse 26, 27, 28, I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. 27, the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. 28, they shall no longer be prey to the nations. They will dwell securely, and I will provide for them renowned plantations as I dwell amongst them. These are the blessings of heaven. God's presence amongst his people, God's provision for his people, meeting every single one of our physical and spiritual needs, God's protection, pasture, provision, the privilege of belonging to God. So we just need to straighten that out, because you see verse 10, we're back in John's Gospel now, just have a look at verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Sometimes we hear that taught, that the life Jesus is offering is a life of health and wealth and prosperity now. I remember hearing it being taught like that. Of course, the person who taught it like that conveniently chose to forget that the man who was born blind, who was in the process of being the first persecuted Christian, was standing in front of Jesus. He'd just been disowned by his family and cast out of the synagogue and cut off from all means of making any income in ancient Israel. Hardly health and wealth. No, the promise Jesus is making here of life and life to the full is the promise of life in heaven guaranteed, and life lived now in relationship with God, on my way to all the blessings of heaven, experiencing the presence of God with me now and his care and protection. And of course, the language of the door. I mean, it's just a great picture, isn't it? I defy anybody here this afternoon, even if you've had the busiest morning of the year and, you know, everything is crumbling around you, to fail to understand the language, I am the door. Okay, will you over lunch? Do stay for lunch. And will you ask the person you're having lunch with, what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the door? Just to make sure that things really have sunk in. It's plain, it's simple. I'm something of a test match cricket fan. In fact, our whole family is, from the 6-year-old right through to the 43-year-old, which is a bit of a mistake on the financial front. The trouble is, it's sometimes quite hard to get hold of tickets. We prefer the Oval. I mean, the Lords is lovely, isn't it, with the rarefied atmosphere, but the Oval, you know, South London, it's all just a little bit more kind of in your face and earthy. But tickets are always hard to come by, that is, until this year. And this year, one of our boys attended a coaching course at the Oval through the winter for cricket, not because he was any good, but to fill the time. And suddenly we discover that he is a junior member of the Surrey County Cricket Club. And he has free admission to the ground, and open access to the members' pavilion, and advance access to one-day matches and test matches, tickets. He is, if you like, well, now my best friend, I can tell you that. He is, if you like, the door. All the privileges of belonging to the Surrey County Cricket Club are mine, through him, as long as I pay him his pocket money. I have access. I have an entry. I defy you to misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. I am the door. If you will enter through me, you can be sure that you are part of God's sheep, one of his flock. Your future is certain. He will lead you in and out. You need never fear his judgment. You need never fear death, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You are protected at that point from all the great enemies, death, the devil. He will provide everything you need for the provision of your soul. It's a wonderful promise, and that's why we sang Psalm 23 as we started, because Psalm 23 is full of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. I can live life today to the full, knowing that my life with him is utterly secure and assured. I think sometimes we have a view of God, don't we, as a kind of Scrooge figure, kind of handing out the pocket money, sort of centimetre by centimetre if it's a note, and millimetre by millimetre if it's a pound coin, and just us having to grab hold of it. No, he says, Jesus, I am the door. If you enter through me today, you can be guaranteed of all God's blessings as one of his sheep. I wonder if you've done that. It's possible to come Tuesday by Tuesday, month by month, year after year, without actually entering through the door. Jesus says, I am the door. Well, will you come to him if you haven't already? But of course, we've only looked at half of the picture. And Jesus makes his point, as he always does, both positively and negatively. And we would be everybody a disservice if we didn't look at the negative as well. Because as the good shepherd, Jesus wields his staff and his rod in order to fend off enemies of the flock. And now he wants to guard us against false shepherds, thieves and robbers who are intent upon stealing and destroying and ultimately leading the flock to death. So he says, yes, I am the door. You can see the egocentricity of it. I enter through me, not, oh, there's a door over there, or let me point you to the stairway to heaven, or I know a man who can. I am the door, he says. But then, in order to make sure we've really got the point, just look at verse 9 again, 8 again. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, he can't mean literally everybody who appeared before him in time, because he speaks highly of Abraham and Moses and commends them. Rather, I would suggest, and you can think about it and talk about it over lunch, all who came before me, I would suggest, he is saying, those who placed themselves in front of Jesus, in a more preeminent position than him, saying, as it were, I am the door to the sheep rather than Jesus, or here is another door to the sheep rather than Jesus. All who placed themselves before me, all who come before me, all who suggest to the sheep that they could have access to God through some other route than the true door. I wonder if you see what Jesus is saying in verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. There is no other gate to God's flock, says Jesus. And if that's not strong enough, then verse 10 makes it even stronger. And what I'd like you to do now is to look at verse 10 very closely. And as I read it in, I mean, not in the original, but as it's worded in the original, word for word, you see how much more strong it is in the original language. Jesus says, the thief does not come except in order that he might steal and kill and destroy. It's striking, isn't it? The thief who doesn't enter through the door, the thief who, as it were, puts himself before Jesus as the door or a way to the sheep pen, has the deliberate intent, however charming and gracious and lovely they may be, has the deliberate intent of stealing, of killing, that is, the ultimate death and judgment of God's people, and destruction. Now you can see what Jesus is saying. My brother went to India years ago now, and when he was there, he was offered access to the Taj Mahal and a big government, I think it was a government party, some government do or other, which he was obviously fair cop for, and as a tourist he was offered this, and he paid his money to the tour guide operator, earned his shirt, put on his bib and tucker, and turned up at the appointed time and in the appointed place to find no tour guide operator. I mean, you could have told me, couldn't you? It was a sham. It was a hoax. It was a fraud. There was no access. And the tour guide operator walked off with 50 quid. Well, this is the picture we're being given here, isn't it? All who ever came before Jesus, all who placed themselves in front of Jesus, says Jesus, whether it's self-help spiritualism, or whether it's self-help humanism, or whether it's somebody who says submit to Sharia law, or somebody else who says follow the fourfold path in enlightenment, all, says Jesus, who place themselves before me are thieves and robbers, and they are intent on robbing, stealing away, killing, leading to destruction, God's sheep. Strong stuff, isn't it? And what I want to do in the last few minutes is I want us, if you're Christian here this afternoon, to be very clear on why it is that Jesus says this. Because it is absolutely vital for us that we take the teaching of Jesus the Good Shepherd seriously, and that we believe it and see why it is that he is the only gate and the only way in to the true flock of God. At the same time, if you're here as someone who's investigating the Christian faith, I don't want you to go away reacting the way the people listening to Jesus did in verse 19. So have a look at verse 19. See, when the people heard Jesus say this, they responded with deep division, and many of them said he must be evil and demonic. If not, he should be sectioned because he's mad. Now, I want you to go away saying, actually, what Jesus says is logical. It makes sense. I can see it holds up. And therefore I'm prepared to investigate this Jesus more closely. And the key to seeing why it is that Jesus claims to be the only door to the sheep is there in verse 11. where Jesus now makes another statement, not just I am the door, but I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life on behalf or for the sheep. And that little word for means on behalf of, in the place of. It's used in John's Gospel regularly to speak of Jesus laying down his life as a sacrifice on behalf of his people to pay the debt that they owe to God and to reunite God's people with God so that they're part of the flock. Of course, that ties in perfectly, doesn't it, with the imagery of sheep in the Bible. Some of you will know the verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, but the Lord, God in heaven, has laid on him, that is, the true shepherd, the iniquity or the sin of us all. See, the Bible presents us as sheep who willfully, whether we like it or not, this is God's analysis of us, that we are sheep who willfully wander from the flock. Sheep who have separated ourselves from the good shepherd, and sheep who have a debt of disobedience and judgment hanging over us. Now we can see why it is that uniquely and exclusively Jesus is the gate to the flock. For he is the true shepherd. And the true shepherd who has given his life on behalf of the sheep, paying for our debt and God's judgment, is able therefore to reunite us to the flock. If you like, shorn of our guilt, with God's punishment for our rejection of him paid, we can now come in and go out in full assurance that we are forgiven, pardoned, and that heaven is secure for us. Now, listen to this. No other religion or philosophy in the world presents a saviour like that. All other so-called solutions, those who offer life to the full, fail to deal adequately with the issue of your wandering and my wandering and God's judgment of our wandering and the debt that we owe him. Why, you can have wall-to-wall plasma screens, you can have back-to-back holidays in Mauritius, you can have iPods in every one of your fleet of BMWs. Technology can rule. You can have a pension plan and a healthcare plan and a fitness program and a body to die for. But until we find a shepherd who will deal with our wandering and the debt that we owe God through our wandering and God's judgment of us through our wandering, we will always be barred from the true flock of God's people. No secure future. Have you ever been to a humanist funeral? There is no hope. This is it. Life has happened. There is no future. And they enter the valley of the shadow of death in utter terror at the prospect of judgment. As we close, let me just take a brief look at the humanist philosophy that has governed our nation for the last 100 years or so. This week, I've managed to get hold of Julian Huxley's little book, Religion Without Revelation, published first in 1927. He wrote it as the humanists really began to flex their muscles, and the aim of this little book is to shift the focus of religion from the life of heaven and the certainty of a future to life lived on earth. And the thesis of the humanists is that, of course, human beings are essentially good, and we must seek to improve ourselves, turning our back on the notion of sin and guilt and judgment, and playing to our innate goodness in order to create, so as to speak, heaven on earth. Listen to what he has to say midway through the book. Sin, and the sense of sin, will always be with us to torture and weigh us down. But it is safe to prophesy that the religion of the future will try to prevent men from being afflicted with a sense of sin. rather than first encouraging it and then curing it. I believe that the religion of the future will have as one of its great aims the saving of human beings from an exaggerated sense of sin. I believe in life. Well, yes, he does believe in life. Life lived out here on earth. But in order to do that, Julian Huxley and the humanists realize that they have to do away with any sense of sin and wrongdoing, any sense of wandering. Let me ask you, as you examine your own soul and your own knowledge of yourself, which is the fraudster? Who is right? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who comes with a direct diagnosis. Yes, we have wandered. We only have to look inside ourselves for a couple of seconds to realize that we have wandered. Yes, we do need someone to deal with our debt and our guilt. And he, the loving Good Shepherd, caring for his sheep, has given his life for us to throw open the gate of heaven. Which is the Good Shepherd? Or Julian Huxley and the humanists who have dominated our thinking over the last century. Oh, let's pretend sin doesn't really exist. Let's pretend Abu Ghraib was just a kind of random sort of happening. Let's pretend that, no, we don't really stray. Let's shove it under the carpet and seek to live life to the full now. Let's pray together. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. We praise and thank you, living Lord God, that you care for your sheep. We praise you that you sent your Son to carry our debt of guilt, sin, and judgment. We praise you that through his death we can be real about ourselves, confident and certain of the future, that we can be assured of your provision for us in every sphere of life. We pray that you would send us out rejoicing in him, the door, the gate, the true shepherd. And we ask it for his name's sake. Amen.